Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website,
MetalMayhemROC.com.
Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno and Metal Forever Mark.
Good evening, everybody. I'm the Vernomatic. Welcome to Metal Mayhem ROC. As always, new content drops every Thursday night. Do yourself a favor, visit the website, metalmayhemroc.com. There you'll find direct links to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean. Whatever link you use to consume your content, it's there. Download past shows, subscribe, review. That kind of stuff helps the bottom line. Sign up for our email list. Now, it's not just an email list for us to tell you about, you know, upcoming shows. It's a chance for you to get into the drawing for weekly giveaways that we've been holding lately. This past week, we're giving away two items, a copy of the Rob Halford autobiography, Confess, and then the other item we're giving away, it's a DVD. It's a picture disc of all the pictures that are included in the Dean DiLorenzo book that we profiled back at Christmas called A Diehard's Journey in Rock and Roll. Now, Dean's a everyday metalhead, but he's been meeting rock stars and celebrities for the past 35 years. He lives down in the New York, Albany area, and he put together this book, and it, you know, it's really amazing how he's met bands when he was like 15 and 16 and then met them again in his 40s and bringing his kids to meet them. It's just amazing how there's this timeline of documentation. So the two winners are for the Halford book, PhilipAnselmo6@gmail.com. And for the Dean DVD, MetsNewYork8@RochesterRR.com. I have sent out emails to both the winners. If they don't respond or don't claim their prizes, hey, we'll have another drawing. Now, on to tonight's show. We had a chance to catch up with Roy Z. Now, Roy Z is the guitarist that hooked up with Bruce Dickinson when Bruce left Iron Maiden in 1993. They met in the studio while Roy was putting the finishing touches on his solo album with his band, A Tribe of Gypsies. Well, they became quick friends, and Bruce asked Roy and his band to be the backing band for his first solo effort, Balls to Picasso. Bruce and Roy ended up doing 1997's Accident at Birth, 1998's The Chemical Wedding. They did Tyranny of Souls and a couple best ofs. Well, when Bruce went back to Maiden, Roy Z hooked up with Rob Halford, who had left Judas Priest, and so they developed a relationship, and Roy and Rob, they worked on like Metal God Essentials Volume 1, Halford 3, Maiden Metal, and when Halford went back to Priest in 04, Roy Z was the producer for the Angel of Retribution release. So, bottom line, Roy has a huge history with these two metal legends. I mean, truly, Bruce Dickinson of Maiden and the metal god himself, Rob Halford. So, Metal Forever Mark has a long-standing relationship with Roy. They're buddies from back in the day. So, we had a chance to catch up with him. He's a really cool guy. Great interview. He tells tons of stories. So, that's what we have on tap for tonight. Tonight's show sponsor is Freedom X Hand Sanitizer. We're going to run a spot, and then we're going to do the interview. Just want to remind you, Monday nights, the Metal Mayhem ROC live radio show. You could find that right on thatmetalstation.com. Just go to our website. It has all the information. So that's about it for Metal Forever Mark. I'm the Vernomatic, and enjoy the interview.
Attention metalheads, we all want to return to concert venues soon. Introducing Metal Mayhem ROC Metal Forever Freedom X Sanitizer. This sanitizer product is water and foam based, manufactured with proprietary HYIQ solution. That's right, no alcohol, but more effective. Manufactured following FDA sanitizer monograph guidelines. It applies smooth without irritating the skin. Safe for all ages. Keep your friends and family safe with Metal Mayhem ROC's own sanitizer. Visit MetalMayhemROC.com or MetalForever.com to order your bottles now. Use promo code METAL at the Freedom X checkout store for a show discount. Now, back to Metal Mayhem ROC.
Hello, this is Roy Z. You're listening to Metal Mayhem ROC with the Vernomatic and Metal Forever Mark.
Hey! Listen up!
Now get that popcorn ready and grab a seat.
Do it!
As the Vernomatic and Metal Forever Mark present this week's feature interview, exclusively here on Metal Mayhem ROC.
We're excited tonight to have Roy Z on the line. Roy was the writer and guitarist and producer with such bands as Bruce Dickinson when he was solo and Judas Priest and Rob Halford. From his home in Los Angeles, California, let's welcome Roy Z. Hey, Roy, how are you?
Hey, everybody. Hanging in there, doing good. I got my vaccine, and as of Friday, I'm going to be a free man.
Well, congratulations. That's excellent. I'm glad you got through the storm. I'm sitting here with my co-host, my partner in metal crime, Metal Forever Mark.
Hey, Roy Z. It's nice talking to you. Thanks so much for joining. And it's fun to reconnect with you talking metal and rock and roll. So thanks so much for joining. And glad you got your vaccine, because we're all getting ready to get back out there and see live music again soon, hopefully.
Yes. No, it's really, really important to get the vaccine. And I agree with you totally that we need to get everybody vaccinated, all the bands, all the crew. Everybody needs to get ready to get out there and rock. All the fans, let's do this. Let's get this over with and get out of this nightmare that we've been in for over a year.
Yeah, it's been frustrating, you know, just can't do anything. But so tonight we want to revisit your career, your involvement in some of the biggest metal acts there are. And we're going to touch on your the rest of your career and what you're up to in 2021. But like I said, I'm not that familiar with the first part of your career. Tell me a little bit about how you got into metal, and more importantly, how you got into music. And tell us about some of your early influences and how you ended up hooking up with Bruce Dickinson.
Well, I mean, I graduated like a lot of musicians do. You know, you start with the Beatles, and then you go, Abbey Road, you know, it's pretty cool, you know, because that was my favorite. That is my favorite record from them. It's really, it's got that, you know, a lot of heavy parts to it. And then you go to Jimi Hendrix, and you graduate to Zeppelin, and you go to Deep Purple, and then you graduate to Sabbath. And then Thin Lizzy, UFO Priest, AC/DC, Van Halen, Ozzy with Randy, you know. Then you go Maiden, Scorps, Crew, Slayer, Metallica, Yngwie. I can go on and on.
All the regulars, all the essentials. Now, Roy, do you go by Roy or Roy Z?
Well, Roy is not my birth name, and Z is not my birth name. And there's an interesting story about that.
Tell the story. How did you get the name Roy Z?
Okay, well, basically, when I was up and coming, and I couldn't use, everybody always called me Roy, but my real name is Roger. Okay, but everybody called me Roy because you know, Mexicans can't say Roger. They say Royer. And so
it sounded like you just said Roger pretty well.
Well, no, they say Royer, and then instead of Royer, they just go Roy, Roy. So that's how you get from, you know, from Roger to Roy. And then my last name is Ramirez, like Sean Connery in The Highlander. And when I was up and coming, there was this guy, the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez. Yeah. And it was a bad vibe for me to go to auditions with that name. So what I did is I flipped it backwards to Zeramar.
Okay. So yeah, well, it makes sense. It's like
I never knew that, Roy. That's classic. That's awesome.
Well, it gets even better. Was when I went to audition for Ronnie Dio, on the chalkboard was my time slot for my audition, and all it just said was Roy Z. And my friend that drove me over with 4 Marshall stacks he goes, I really like that Roy Z. It sounds good, you know, Roy Z. And then he started calling me Roy Z, then everybody Roy Z, Roy Z, Roy Z, Roy Z. And then it stuck. So Ronnie, I found out later that Ronnie said if I got the gig, that he would want me to change my name to Roy Z.
What year was this? Was that the...
Yeah, where in the sequence does this happen? Because Vernomatic talked, he did his heavy metal homework and said, I think Roy Z tried out for Dio. And I was like, well,
twice.
As long as I've known this dude, I actually never knew that, Z. And like, I guess so when we hang out and stuff, sometimes we just shoot the shit about other stuff. But like, okay, so where in the sequence does the Dio auditions happen?
Well, I'm good friends with him. The guy that got the gig at the end of the day, we're really good friends, is Rowan Robertson. He got the gig the first time I auditioned.
What? Excuse me, wasn't he like 16 at the time?
He was young. He was very young, yeah. But he got the gig.
Was that the Lock Up the Wolves era of Dio? It was like...
Yeah, it was just, you know, I guess... I don't know if it was after Craig Goldie or after Vivian. Not sure, to be honest.
Yeah, when Vivian, Craig Goldie, and then the young kid.
Yeah, Rowan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I first auditioned over on Lancashire here in North Hollywood at Little Feet. Little Feet had a studio there. And yeah, it was like a cattle call, man. It was all these guitar players just lined up.
So you became Roy Z because of, well, I know you said your father and things, but man, but from Ronnie James Dio, basically.
Yeah, he baptized me. No, he baptized. He gave me my metal name. He baptized my, you know, my metal name. And then after a while, with the, you know, with the internet and everything, I discovered there was another guy's using Roy Z. So that's when I added my real last name, Ramirez. So that's why I go by now Roy Z Ramirez. But yeah, that's how Roy Z was born.
It's awesome. You know, Dio's on that Rushmore of metal singers. So you lost out to the gig to Rowan the first time. What you said you auditioned twice. When was
yeah, and, yep. And then I lost out to Tracy G the second time. Tracy had a really good relationship with Jimmy Bain and Vinnie Appice because they already had played in World War III. And I think that had a lot to do with it because I tell you what, man, I thought I killed my audition. What's funny is, you know, Ronnie and I would bump into each other. And then there was one time, it was really strange, at Universal Amphitheater, Iron Maiden was touring with Dio, and the opening band, Dirty Deeds, I believe they were called, had visa problems, and they needed a third band. And my band, Tribe of Gypsies, opened up this metal show. And it was tough work, but we won over the crowd. And Ronnie saw the show, and he goes, "Man, you know what? This is where you belong. You belong in this band right here. This is you." And so that was cool to get the double blessing. But man, I can only just imagine what would have happened if Ronnie and I actually ever worked together.
So, hey, Roy Z, so I was telling Vernomatic, because Vernomatic, we have this thing called Mount Rushmore Metal, where it's like the top four of pick anything, guitarist, drummer, metal band, whatever. And he, you know, his is Iron Maiden. I guess you could argue mine is the same, is in that category. But take us back, because I'm a little, and it's been a while since we talked about this. So take us back. I thought the story went, you were in the studio recording, it might have been Tribe of Gypsies or something that maybe wasn't even a metal project. And then Bruce happened to be in that same studio working on some stuff. And then can you take us back to like how you guys met and then first started collaborating?
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, it was serendipitous. It was really just a fluke. I was working at the Sound City complex, and in the complex is Keith Olsen's studio. So I was in Keith Olsen's studio mixing the first Tribe of Gypsies album. I would go in at night because Bruce would go in during the day. And basically they told me, hey, Bruce is having a day off. So if you want to come in during the day and do the, you know, just stay, basically just stay the night and then come back and we'll do the day. Well, Bruce forgot he had the day off and showed up for work.
So then he walks in, and then how do you guys start? Like, how does that conversation go?
No, I walk in, and you know, I had made it really clear to everybody that I did not want anybody hearing my music that wasn't involved. And I walk in and I see, I'm hearing one of my songs called We All Bleed Red, and I'm hearing it blasting, like cranked to the max. And and I see the engineer that I was working with, and then I see this dude like headbanging, like all this hair was just flying, you know. And I'm like, what the fuck, you know? I was pissed for those few seconds. I'm just stood there, and I'm just standing there ready to tee off, and then the song ended, and then I hear this British guy go, wow, that was brilliant. He goes, that was amazing. And I'm like, okay, who is this dude? And then the engineer turned around and says, oh, there he is. That's his band right here. And Bruce goes, hey, I'm Bruce. I love your band. I want to help you. You guys are amazing.
Wait, and Tribe of Gypsies is not a metal band, right? Technically speaking.
No, it's a heavy Latin rock band, you know. And I just, you know, after a while, I just went to my roots, you know, music I grew up with, and just to, you know, I had an identity crisis when I was living in New England, and the band Driver I was in fell apart. And I just said, hey, you know, I asked myself, who are you? What are you? What are you all about? And I came up with the concept of Tribe of Gypsies. And, you know, was successful as far as getting, in the beginning, getting a, you know, investment, getting a record deal and everything else. But, you know, things changed. But yeah, that's how I met Bruce. And then from there, next thing I know, a week later, I'm being flown to England, and the rest is history.
Now, Roy Z, did you know who Bruce Dickinson was when he said, hey, I'm Bruce?
Hell yeah, I did, dude. I had the posters in my garage.
That's what I thought. That's what I got out of that. Okay, yeah. So there's Bruce. And at that time, when was it? 91, 92?
It was like 92-ish.
Yeah, he still had the long, didn't he still have the long hair?
Oh yeah, really long hair.
Yeah, he didn't cut it until
Skunk Works or something.
Yeah. So there's Bruce Dickinson vibing on your other band stuff. And so where does it lead from there? How did you guys hook up?
Well, he just goes, hey, man, he goes, I really like your band. You know, I really like what you're doing. I want to help you. And I said, okay, you know, tell me what's up. And he just said, hey, listen, I want to fly you to London. I want you to meet my managers. I've already told them about you. Maybe we could write a song or two. And I said, okay, cool. So a week from meeting him, a week later, I was on a plane to London. My first time ever going over the pond, as they say. You know, we were talking and everything, and we worked on some songs. And next thing you know, he's like, you know, I like this better than the album I'm working on. I don't know what to do. I go, oh, dude, I don't know, dude. I go, you know, that's on you, you know. He goes, would you mind doing a few songs on my new album? I go, not a problem. He goes, but would you do them in the UK? I go, well, you know, I have my band and this and that. And he goes, well, what if we just use the guys in your band? I said, if you do that, I'm sure we could work something out. And that's what happened. And we ended up going with Rod Smallwood as our manager and Andy Taylor as our managers. It was weird, man. It was just like boom, 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 boom.
So Rod and Andy from Sanctuary Music, they took you in. They were handling Bruce, seeing that Bruce went solo. There was no bad blood there, or business is business.
You know, I can't say other than everybody was respectful and everybody was working together. You know, Bruce was like so happy to be working. What he liked about us, I remember him saying something to the effect, he goes, you guys have the Santana kind of thing, but you guys also have the Purple kind of thing. And he's a huge Purple fan.
Sure.
Deep Purple. Sure. You know, and so he was like, and he wanted to experiment. He didn't want to sound like Maiden, even though I snuck some in, like on songs like Gods of War. I snuck in a little bit here and there. And obviously that album yielded the greatest solo song ever, Tears of the Dragon, which is like, wow. You know, it's up there, you know, mm-hmm. as far as a solo song for an artist, you know. I mean, and so even to this day, I mean, I just got a video of a little girl singing Tears of the Dragon. She's got to be like 5-6 years old, and she kills it. But what I'm saying is, like, that song and the re-recording of that song changed everything.
For too long now, there were secrets in my mind. For too long now, there were things I should have said. In the darkness, I was stumbling for the door to find a reason, to find the time, the place, the hour, waiting for the winter sun and the cold light of day. The misty ghosts of childhood fears, the pressure is building and I can't stay away.
That's like the end track to Balls to Picasso, and many would say that like that kind of was more like of the metal vibe, and then the releases right after were definitely more, even though they weren't Maiden, they had a Maiden vibe like you said, but like they were metal records for sure.
Well, you know, like you know, I can't comment as far as what they were trying to go for on Skunk Works, but I like Skunk Works that happened after. But then, you know, by then, what's weird is I met someone in England, and then ended up getting married, and I was living in England, and Bruce's wife, God rest her soul, Patty, was American, and she invited me and my ex-wife to a 4th of July party, of all things, in England.
Really? They're celebrating 4th of July in England? Or...
Oh, Americans do, like...
Yeah.
You know, like they say in England, sort of taking the piss.
Stars and bars, you know.
Hey, man, whatever. We're all united in the end. Yeah, that's so. Then he's telling me these stories about his band, and I said, well, listen, man, if you ever want to get back to doing some heavy metal, let me know, because I've got a bunch of riffs. And he's like, really? I go, yeah, man, I've just been messing around, you know, just having fun. I got some really cool heavy metal riffs. And he's like, okay, great. I said, yeah, but I'm flying home in 2 days, so I don't know. Give me a call. So about a week later after that party, he called me. And I just happened to be in my little studio in my house in Northridge. And he goes like, he's like, hey, Z, so what do you got? Can you play me something over the phone? I go, sure. And I played him some songs. And he was like, I'm getting on a plane. And a few days later, man, we were there working on what was the beginnings of Accident of Birth.
Tell us about recording the album and how did that go?
Well, I got to say it was like 96. When we first, he goes, okay, I'm all in, you know, I want to do this. He goes, a lot of the stuff you're writing, it sounds like you have another guitar in there. And he goes, well, you're writing for two guitar players. What do you think about maybe Adrian coming in? And I'm like, you mean Adrian Smith? He goes, yeah. What do you think about that? I go, I'm cool with it, dude. Let's do it.
Quick sidebar. Adrian left Maiden when Bruce did, or a little bit after Bruce. And what was he doing? Just sort of recharging his battery? And... how did
I don't know. I know he did ASAP because I have that album. Mm-hmm. And but I really don't know, and I don't want to say stuff that I don't know about. But anyway, Adrian, just I remember picking Adrian up. He was so scared. I picked him up in my brand new 5.0 and I was going like 100,000 miles an hour
with Adrian Smith in the car.
Yeah, I picked him up from the airport, brought him to my house, and we had a couple of beers. And then I know he took a little nap because he was jet lagged. And then I finally took him to the Oak Woods, and man, I was just like, okay, this is getting really good now, because he heard what I had. And he goes, well, he goes, okay, I'm going to work on some ideas. And he worked on some ideas, and we just, you know, collab. I gave him his space. At the same time, I gave him more than his space. But at the same time, I was pretty focused on what this record now was going to be.
And that turned into the Accident at Birth release.
Yep.
And then you guys, you had that live Scream for Me Brazil, right? So was that after Chemical Wedding? That was, correct?
Yeah, that was the last thing we did together.
Yep, yep. So the vibe between you and Adrian was really strong, because I think the songwriting got really, really strong. And, I mean, just what was the chemistry like with you and Adrian?
Well, it was cool. You know, Adrian's a great player, and he can... You know, and he was really enjoying the tunings I was using, because he was just used to the normal tunings. And then, well, by the time we got to Chemical Wedding, I was expanding the tunings and making it modern. And you got to remember, this is a time when nobody did solos, not even Metallica.
Yeah. You know, yeah, the 90s, there was no guitar solos.
No guitar solos. When we did Accident of Birth and when we did Chemical Wedding, guitar solos were considered like, I don't know, that people hated it, which I find really nuts.
Yeah, well, it's the 90s. The 90s blew. We're talking with Roy Z, metal guitarist, working with such metal visionaries as Bruce Dickinson, Rob Halford, along with some other production and producing duties. Roy, before we move on to some other projects you're involved with, when you were doing the live Bruce Dickinson tours, how much of the live set list was Iron Maiden material? And if any, how was it looking over and seeing Adrian Smith on the other side of the stage?
Well, it was awesome because for me, it was perfect because Adrian had his style and I had the role of doing Dave Murray's bits. And Dave Murray and I are huge, both of us are really huge Hendrix fans. Oddly enough, we both really like using the MXR Phase 90 pedal, which Eddie Van Halen made popular, but we both really like that pedal. So for me, it was like so natural. And, you know, Adrian and I, we wouldn't talk so much about it, but when we did, I would say, look, dude, on this song, I'm going to do the shred part, and then and then you do the feeling part. But if there's anything you want to do, you just do it. Go for it.
Yeah.
And so we had that balance of the speed. I was doing the more speedy stuff, and he was doing more just being himself, being Adrian, the feeling with some speed and everything else, but he's got a lot of great feeling. And, now his new project, I really like a lot with Richie Kotzen, and it's kind of like the same thing really, but I mean, Kotzen blows me away. I'm getting a guitar. So
yeah, Richie has really chiseled himself out an impressive career in the last 20 years. He's all over the place. He's a great talent.
Yeah.
Wait, so Roy, just real quick on this. So you did play Maiden songs live? I thought when Bruce went out, you guys were just playing stuff from his solo, like Accident of Birth and Chemical Wedding and Tattoo Millionaire.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is we would do 3 to 4, no more than 5 Maiden songs, but they were songs that were written by those guys. So we would do like Flight of Icarus, and I know Bruce didn't get credit for the writing because of contractual stuff, but Run to the Hills we used to do, and we used to do Power Slave that Bruce wrote.
Did you do Wasted Years?
No, we never did that. We never did.
Yeah, I thought there was an Adrian song from somewhere or some yeah. time.
Yeah, he wrote it. We never did it. And
but that stuff never ended up on any live recorded material, though, because I don't remember anything making live.
Yeah, I have a Live Japan thing, and we did 2 Minutes to Midnight, which they both wrote. So anything, it was cool with management as long as it was songs that they wrote.
So after the Scream for Me Brazil, were you involved in the Tyranny of Souls release? And how did the Dickinson era end with your involvement?
Well, here's the thing is that this is a whole nother. You're taking, dude, all of these are like chapters in a book. Okay.
Yeah.
Bruce goes, hey, I want to do a record, but nobody can know about it. And I said, okay. He goes, write some ideas for me. And I wrote 20 ideas, and it was just guitar tracks and bass to a click. That was it. I didn't have time to, and I gave him the 20 ideas. And then he was on tour, and he literally picked the first 10 in the same order that I gave them to him. And then Maiden had, I think it was two or three nights at the Universal Amphitheater. Long story, he was going to be here for 4 days. So I went to the show the first night, and he fell because there was birthday cake from Nickel's birthday. So he slipped and fell, like, I want to say like 50 feet or more. And he broke ribs.
Wow.
Yeah. But he was scheduled to do vocals for the 10 songs that he picked. He picked the first 10 in the same order. And man, I never seen anybody so hardcore. That guy's hardcore. He fucking sang the whole thing, the whole album, in 3 days, bro. With broken ribs.
That's crazy, because it's hard enough to breathe with broken ribs, let alone sing like how Bruce sings.
Bro, I just had broken ribs, man. thank God I don't have, they're healed now. I just had broken ribs. And I was thinking to myself, damn, this is crazy. Bruce is a nut. Because he would literally do a take, and he lay down on a little studio couch I had. And he's like, okay, Z, hold on a second. And he'd give me 4 takes for every song. And he would do, and then in those 3 days, he did all the songs. And then he goes, and I would put it all together. He'd only sing like not that long, like maybe 3-4 hours. And then he goes, okay, Z, I gotta go, man. I'm just hurting. And I go, don't worry. I go, well, tomorrow. And then we would fix up, and then he'd do more songs and more songs. By the end of the whole thing, we had like 12 songs done. The vocals were done. And I was just like astounded. And he did that while Iron Maiden. And at night, he would sing with Iron Maiden. And during the day, he would sing. Crazy, fucking crazy, man.
Is this
unbelievable?
Is this the period when he was sleeping in the studio?
He used to sleep here at the house, but no, he would sing a take or two, and then say, "I got to lay down because his ribs were broken." And then he'd do more and then more, and then he'd just go because he had sound check or whatever to do a Maiden gig. Dude, that dude, no matter what anybody says, he's like he wills himself to the fullest. I've never seen anybody with such drive and such, I don't know what you call it, man. In Spanish, we call it ganas, you know, like just willing himself over the pain and everything else. And he did that. And I saw it. I was blown away because I saw him fall, and I'm like, oh my God, I guess we ain't doing vocals tomorrow. And then I see him. And then he said, like, no, man, we're doing vocals. I'll be there at 10 a.m. I'm like, all right, dude, you're crazy.
Well, but, in English, we call it he's got game. So, you know, that's excellent. Interesting. So how did you end up getting involved with the metal god, Rob Halford?
Well, that's a book in itself.
Okay.
But I'll give you the synopsis. Basically, a good friend of ours, Chris Liebengut, who was a journalist for Rock Hard magazine and is still very active, he's the one that got John Five the gig with Rob in the first place. And he heard that Rob was looking for a guitarist. And I went into audition as a guitar player. Rob wasn't there. His manager wasn't there. And but I guess, from what I understand, they filmed it. And I argued with the producer of the of his thing, because they were trying to make him techno metal or something. I don't know. And not even metal, just like this weird stuff. You know, because I like techno music, but it was just weird. And I told him, I told the guy, go look. We're friends, and I don't want to say anything bad other than I told him, man, you're barking up the wrong tree, man. I go, if you look up a book, just a book of a picture that defines heavy metal, I go, you're going to see Rob Halford on a Harley, bro, with spikes and all leathered up and looking like, you know, like S&M gone on 20, you know. And he goes, yeah, I know. He goes, but, you know, this is what we're doing now. I go, well, you're doing the wrong stuff. And I go, you're doing the wrong stuff. This is not going to work. A leopard can't change his spots, man.
Tell us about the Angel Retribution and the return of the Metal God.
Well, oddly enough, I did Resurrection and everybody, including the band, were like, this is what we want to sound like. I said, yeah, but you know, you don't know what it took and this and that, and boom. But next thing you know, Rob's going to join Priest and rejoin Priest. And he said, hey, I just need, you know, I need a little bit of a, you know, I need to feel comfortable, because I like doing my vocals with C, because, you know, we have a great dynamic together. And the guys from, that was one of Rob's conditions to go back in the band. And then the guys met me in San Diego. And I went out with after a studio little session at Rob's place. I went out with the guys. We had a couple of pints together, and they liked me. Mm-hmm. You know, they liked what I had to say, because I was saying all the things that they felt good about. I don't know if it was 100%, but they liked me. And so, in other words, at the end of that thing, they just said, hey, you know, they said, we want you to do the record. And then, so I worked at the Old Smithy, Old Smithy is outside of Worcester, and it's in a place called Kempsey, a town called Kempsey. And oddly enough, I might be working there again, but that's where they did Born Again, bro, Sabbath. Yeah, the Old Smithy. So I'm like, yeah, it's weird, because I'm in touch with the owner right now, because I want to do some work there. I just like it over there. And then, I set up a studio at KK's. I set up a studio at Glenn's, and man, I worked the first part of the session. I worked 93 days in a row, and I'm talking long days. And then we got to do. They said, "Well, where do you want to record the drums?" I said, "Sound City." So we got Scott and I over. The band stayed home, and Scott. And I with Joe Barisi and Mike Fasano. I got to mention him, because he's the drum tuning master. And we recorded the drums at Sound City, man. It was a great time.
Can you comment on a rumor that I heard? Well, one,
yep.
Well, I heard it, and I think I read it in the KK book. Is it true that Rob came back in the band as a security blanket when they got offered to do the Ozfest, in case Ozzy couldn't perform? And is Judas Rising, is that really an older song?
Fertomatic does his heavy metal homework.
Well, listen, no. All right. Number one, this is crazy. There's only so much I could say, but.
It was in KK's book. That's why I asked.
Yeah, KK. It was weird when I worked for Priest because we had the studio and then we had his house and we had Glenn's house. And Glenn has a full-blown, he has a barn with a studio. So I was jumping between all three, driving stick shift on the opposite side. That's fucking nuts, dude. Let me tell you. try doing the fucking clutch and using your left hand instead of your right hand to change gears, bro. And it's fucking weird, dude. But anyway, I used to drive a lot, going to their houses. I set up these studios. And, but yeah, Judas Rising, one day, KK goes, check this out. And I go, what's up with it? He goes, I need your help with this, buddy. I'm like, all right. So next thing you know, we're working on words. I didn't get credit, but that's okay. I have the demo of me singing that shit. I still have that demo.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. I still have the demo. And then Glenn goes, oh, no, we're not going to do that song. That song's been around. He goes, we got way better songs from a long time ago. I go, listen, man, this thing is crazy. So the intro, I told KK, I go, got to come up with an intro that's kind of like Victim of Changes coming back. Like the victim of Changes intro, but you're coming back real crazy. And we worked on that intro for like 3 days. And then we showed it to Rob, and Rob goes, it's fucking amazing. He goes, like, fucking great. So next thing you know, Rob comes over to KK's, and then we're working on the final lyrics. And then working to present it to Glenn. And then finally Glenn relented, and he said, okay. He did not want it on the album. And I fought tooth and nail with him. Glenn's a great guy to hang out with. And him and I would hang out really cool. But when we worked together, man, it was like two rams at it every fucking day.
Gotta ask, was it because it was a KK riff and it was KK material?
You know what? I really don't know. I might have messed up and got involved a little too much with KK, but KK would be like, just come over to my house for a week. And he lived in this crazy place, dude. Golf courses, yeah, and shit, yeah. And fucking lakes. You could go fishing and, you know, and it was just like beautiful views. And Glenn had just an amazing place too, you know, just amazing. It was just amazing. But long story short is KK told me the story of how he never even wanted Glenn in the band. It got pushed on him, and how he felt bullied by him. And I really felt for him, you know. I really felt for Ken because he was always outnumbered. You know, he was, at least he felt that way. I don't know. I can't say. But there's some of that in his book that I read.
It just seemed, I've been a Priest fan for years, and it just seemed like with Judas Priest, there's always been a miscommunication that has led to either Rob leaving KK not expressing his feelings, Glenn overstepping his authority within the band, and it's caused problems throughout the years. And I honestly think that's part of the problem that led to when Judas Priest got back together, they haven't been bigger than some of these other bands that are younger than them. Maiden, the Metallicas, I don't think Priest has ever really fully reached their popularity level, if you will. That's just my take. Comment on that at all?
Well, I think that Priest is always about 15 to 20 years ahead of their time. In other words, like, people hated Painkiller. But then all of a sudden, every band in Europe, especially Germany, wanted to sound like Painkiller. Like bands like Primal Fear and Gamma Ray and all these other bands, right? And then when they did Nostradamus, that's when they decided I'm not in on that, because now I was in Rob's band, and I felt there was a conflict. But now when I miss, I'm like, holy smokes, man, this is pretty good.
I'm sorry, Roy, you broke up. What did you say when you did what?
I said when, you know, a lot of people bashed Nostradamus. You know?
Uh-huh.
But now when I put on Nostradamus, I actually really enjoy it.
Yeah, there's a lot of good moments in that album. By the way, Roy, just for a quick second, back to Angel Retribution. I mean, so here's the thing. Like, you're kind of... This, I don't want this to sound the wrong way. Like, you're not that you're like in the shadows, but like you're here, you are a hardcore part of a lot of heavy metal history. You know, when you think about it, I mean, you got Dickinson doing heavy metal when he was doing something that wasn't there. Halford, who was doing two, and then you were part of him coming into Resurrection and going back to metal. Then you end up with him and Priest, which a lot of Priest fans would say Angel Retribution is kick-ass. And by the way, that song, Judas is Rising, like, not only was that the opener to the album, they opened the freaking tour with that song. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like it's pretty amazing when we hear your story, because it's like, you know, you're woven in serious heavy metal history, you know, in America and around the world. It's crazy when you think about it right that way.
Well, you know, for a kid that's from Pacoima, California, and by the way, Pacoima is the homeland of Richie Valens. So this is, you know, there's a lot of pride here in Pacoima. I live not too far from where I grew up, in a very rough area. But for a kid to have the posters of these guys on his wall when he's 12, 13, 14, 15, and then to be able to do the work that I did with them, and you just go like, really? Did I do that? Because now time, you know, has eroded a lot of not the memories, but the actual struggles of just getting there, you know, just working my ass off.
How has the advancement of the ethnicity of metal happened throughout the last 30 years? You know, yourself, you're involved with it. Rob Trujillo over with Metallica. You know, you've had other guys, Chino from, it escapes my mind right now. Deftones. Thank you. You know, Chino and, Randy Castillo, Rudy Sarzo, even though he's Cuban. But, you know, have you seen an increase of some of the Latin or other ethnicity in metal?
Yeah. You know who started it was Ozzy. Ozzy by getting Rudy number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got Randy Castillo. And then he got Mike Inez.
Sure, Mike Inez. Yeah.
And then he... I call us the Mojo Men, because, you know, us Latinos, we're mystical, crazy motherfuckers. And for people,
<Hell yeah. laughs>
you know, like for people like from people like in England, they go like, damn, these motherfuckers come from like used to chop each other's heads off and they built these pyramids. There's some crazy motherfuckers right there.
I was thinking that when you told me that you moved to England. I'm like, Jesus, you know, talking about fish out of water and just
Man, I loved it. I loved it, man, because you know, up until that moment, man, I always felt in the United States like a second class citizen, bro. And that's the truth.
That's too bad. It's
yeah, that's actually the often not talked about thing, you know, side of the, I guess, the metal world, right? And yeah, Z, you've truly, man, it's a success story and a half for sure. So hey, and it's, get three metalheads going. We can go all night, and this is definitely gonna be more. I knew Vertimatic was gonna get into this discussion because you're part of his two Mount Rushmore metal bands, yeah. Favorites of all time. But I was gonna ask him something else, but go ahead.
No, you finish your thought.
Royce, I was gonna ask you. We'd be remiss because now we want to go into like 2021, and you told us that maybe we would get a Metal Mayhem ROC exclusive. And maybe we might get two based on just this last conversation we were having as it relates to kind of, you know, KK and what he's doing. But rumor has it, we've heard that maybe you've been writing and working with Bruce again in 2021. Is that true? And what can you share or not share about that at the moment?
Well, listen, Bruce and I, when we can get together, we always get together and work on music. We have a lot of songs, ideas, we have a lot of songs and we want to do a few more, but we were supposed to get together, but because of COVID, we can't get together. And, unfortunately I can't go to England right now and he can't come to America because of this new variant. But also, you know, I don't know what else is happening in the camp over there. But yes, we were supposed to get together last year, around this time last year.
And said Bruce is not a guy that wants to do like the file sharing, so send a bunch of stuff through the internet. He wants to get in a room and get in the studio and record stuff with you there with him.
Bro, yeah, I don't think he's that kind of a guy. I mean, he still has a flip phone. I'll just leave it like that.
That's awesome.
All right. Okay. So anyway, can you speak just a little bit? How's that music sounding? Like, is it heavy? Is it riffy? Is it all the things that we would expect? Like with a modern edge? Like, is it? I assume it's metal.
If you took all three of the, I call it the trilogy. Actually, there's actually some ideas that remind me of like Balls to Picasso. There's one or two of those ideas, but basically, it's like if you took the three last albums that we did, a little bit of each, but custom because we're not trying to repeat. We never like to repeat, but it has the vibe and the feeling of those last three albums. There might be one or two ideas that are kind of ball. I don't know if they're going to make the album. I really don't know what's going to happen other than I can tell you this, that we really want to do this from what he's told me. And I hope I don't piss anybody off by saying this, but you know, there's definitely eggs in the basket, brother.
Okay. And here's the second thing I want to ask you related in a way. And again, just comes from the priest side of things too. You know, sounds to me like when you were telling that story and you're going to KK's and Glenn's and you're bouncing from the studios, you got a little sympathetic towards KK. And then obviously at some point KK leaves priest after, I guess, the Nostradamus idea. Was it, do you think like you kind of aligned, and everybody knows that maybe Glenn has really taken more of a control of that band, you not working with them anymore, was that because maybe you think you got a little more sympathetic to like what KK was going through, and then maybe Glenn got a, you know, didn't like that as much? And then, you know, I know you mentioned that Rob really wanted you there for the vocals. So where does it turn? Like maybe where Rob, they went in a different direction, or can you speak on that?
You know, I can't say much about it other than I'm in touch with Glenn once in a while. And I'm in touch with KK more. And, you know, we all remain friends. I love Ian. I had a lot of fun hanging out with Scott. And I'm, you know, I don't want to say I'm close, but I know Richie, and he's a good guy, and I'm friends with Andy Sneap. So I wish those guys nothing but, you know, power and love, and I wish them well. You know, I hope they kick some ass, because I really like Firepower. Yeah, I really enjoyed that record. And man, if they could pull a, you know, Tom Allum in there, one of my production heroes. My main production hero, I have to say, is Martin Birch. But then after that, Tom Allum for sure. And then I love Chris Sangaridis, God rest his soul. And same with Martin Birch, you know, God, you know, rest in peace, brother. And these are guys that I've always looked up to, and I've tried to carry on that tradition that they did. I like that Dickinson doesn't sound like Halford, and that Halford doesn't sound like Sepultura, and then that Sepultura doesn't sound like a lot of the new things that I'm been doing. And I just try to keep it like OG, like Martin Birch did, because Martin Birch worked with everybody from Fleetwood Mac, Whitesnake, Purple, to Maiden, to, you know, the Dio Heaven and Hell era, you know. And I gotta say, man, I've been sparking up those new reissues, man, of Black Sabbath, of Heaven and Hell, Mob Rules, man. And it just shows you how brilliant a guy like Martin really was.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you do want to share? I know you're a little bit on like a hiatus of like, let's get through the COVID pandemic, but 2021, or even looking a little bit beyond 2022, is there anything you do want to share? And I know you've always got stuff behind the scenes kicking, Z. So like, what projects can you share? And I know you've mentioned, hey, you're still in touch with a guy like KK too. So like, anything you want to share as far as like what you see project wise in the near future? Well,
yeah, unfortunately, I was not able to work with KK's new thing. But you know, it is what it is. The last things I worked on in 2019 and before the pandemic, there's a Peruvian band called Flor de Loto, and they're from Peru. It was actually the last job I did abroad, and we haven't finished the record only because of the pandemic, and I can't go to Peru and they can't come here. But what's cool is this band has 6 or 7 records in Spanish, and this will be their first album in English. And we have some very special guests, and one guest I can announce that's on there is Arthur Brown. And Arthur killed it, amazing job. Also, there's a group out of Brazil called Anguish, and I am not able to finish their album also because of the pandemic. They're great, man. They're like fans of Maiden, fans of, you know, Maiden and Priest and Dickinson will love that band. And then I've been working on and off with Jimmy's brother, Leon Hendricks. And we're just waiting, you know, for, you know, all the vaccines and everything. But going to be working with Leon on some stuff. And then in January, I start with Brazilian band called Heaven's Guardian, who the lead singer, that was his original band, who's a mutual friend of Mark and I's, is Carlos Zima.
That's right, Zima. I thought he was with Immortal Guardian.
He is with Immortal Guardian, and I, you know, I worked with them on their first EP, but his original band is a band called Heaven's Guardian. And that's something that I hope to start in January, if all goes well. I just saw Carlos, by the way, And I told him I would be on with you, Mark, and he sends his best.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah, I he's another guy I need to outreach to soon because I want to reconnect because it's been too long. And I'm a huge fan of his vocals and his musicianship, but he's like super up, straight up cool dude, right? So, yeah,
he's the best.
Yeah, man.
He was at my wedding. He was at my wedding in Vegas.
Oh, awesome, dude. Yeah, he's the man. Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, and then finally. I'm planning to release next year my whole entire Tribal Gypsies catalog, everything with bonus tracks and everything. But there's so much more that are in the works. But because of the pandemic right now, I can't risk, even though you get the vaccine, you can still carry it. And I got to be careful because I have a lot of relatives that still haven't gotten the shot. And they're susceptible to, they have pre-existing conditions and they're susceptible to permanent damage. So, yeah, unfortunately, this year is going to be another lost year, I think. But I got to give it to people, man. They're you know, hopefully the metal community will come together and get vaccinated. I was thinking to myself, it would be really cool for some of the festivals to offer people vaccination. That would be rad.
Yeah.
Awesome idea.
get people there. Roy Z, we got 5 minutes left and we do a fun show segment on here. It's called the Mount Rushmore of Metal.
Many have tried. Most have failed. Only a few survived. This is the Mount Rushmore of Metal.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. So
only a few survived.
Yeah, only a few survived.
Metal Mike from Halford did not survive.
Just okay, well, I don't know. I don't. That's funny. I don't know what's considered metal. You know, is Deep Purple considered metal? Is Jimi Hendrix?
We're not, listen.
Let Vernomana cue this up because he has an opinion on how this works.
We're not even going to go there. Before we met with you, we did another show segment with one of our correspondents. And the discussion was, it's a fun game we do. Is it metal or not? And I queue up. I go and I get six tracks of various bands that just released material. And I don't tell the guys who it is. I just play it. And the question, and I get the response from Mark and Metal Walt, is it metal or not? So, but my question to you is, I'm going to need your Mount Rushmore of... metal bands. Give us your Mount Rushmore of
metal. It's your interpretation, so you throw in who you want to throw in.
All time.
Well, here's the thing, though. No, and I don't mean to stall on this, but what do you guys, where did metal start? Where do you guys think that metal started?
It's some say, you know, it's Cream.
Is Purple Haze metal?
Is it? I mean, there's no right answer. It's your interpretation. Is Grand Funk Railroad? Is MC5 from Detroit in the 60s?
It's Thin Lizzy or UFO.
You sure? That stuff was in the 70s. What about Sabbath in 69, the debut?
Yeah, Sabbath. What about AC/DC.
Still, Z, that's the 70s. I mean, what about Zeppelin?
That's why we have this debate.
Zeppelin was the 60s. Like, I mean, Iron Butterfly.
What about Steppenwolf?
That's what I mean. Okay. 2 hours ago, you said.
So here's what I would say the following. Like, of course, Black Sabbath has the early metal roots, as you can then trace to Deep Purple and all that. For me, metal really, this is just my interpretation. Like, somewhere around where, like, Priest hits, like, British Steel, and somewhere where, like, Number of the Beast comes out, and then somewhere where, like, Kill 'Em All comes out with Metallica. I know there are a little bit different timelines, but, like, that's in my view when like that started becoming metal. Like,
and what about Van Halen? What about Van Halen?
We say no. I say not metal. Vernomatic says maybe it's metal. Well, it's, look, it comes from that time frame of hair metal genre. I mean,
Van Halen was never hair metal, but remember what Greg Renoff said, and or Andy Bennett said in 1978, Atomic Punk and I'm the One and On Fire from Van Halen One. That was some of the heaviest stuff going on. That I sure Priest, AC/DC.
Is Kiss metal? Is Kiss metal?
Yeah. Kiss
that,
Alive One, Roy. Kiss wow, Alive One.
Z flipped this on us hardcore, man. It's like, it's just, how many genres of metal are there, too? There's like 50 subgenres of metal. Doom, grindcore, death, melodic.
Well,
like,
we have to get back to right. the rules of right. Mount Rushmore.
The rules are there are no rules. Okay. It's your interpretation.
I need right. four. Four, Roy Z.
According to Roy Z. Nobody
all right. Else. This is tough, man. This is fucked up.
It's so funny.
Sabbath, Priest, Maiden. Fuck. Only one more. And I have like 10.
That's why.
Slayer.
Oh, that hasn't been mentioned before, but there you can't argue. That's the thing. No one can argue with any of these lists.
No, but I forgot. Metallica, I forgot Motley Crue, I forgot the Scorps, I forgot Ozzy with Randy.
You're a big Randy fan. I saw some videos of you doing them.
That's what I'm saying, man. I like the like. What is metal?
Okay, so this is another Mount Rushmore. It's going to be hard for you, and you probably don't want to offend folks. But what's your Mount Rushmore top four metal vocalists?
Well, that's not hard.
Can't forget about Zima.
I know.
No, I mean
Sheepers.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is that in no particular order, okay? The ultimate metal singer, and you guys might not consider him metal, but to me he's metal. Well, no, here, let me go back up. Okay. The ultimate metal singers for me are Rob Halford. Number two, Bruce. Number three, Dio. And number four, I know he's not considered metal, but I have to say Ian Gillan. And in no particular order.
Ian Gillan was on Born Again Black Sabbath. That was definitely a metal album.
Yeah. And in no particular order, I just think about, like, there's never been a singer with the range of other than Ian Gillan, with the range. And you know who else would count as metal is Arthur Brown, because he influenced all of these guys. You know, there's a lot of honorable mentions, you know, like the dude from Malice. I thought he was way metal.
Malice from Cleveland?
Malice, dude.
Yeah, they're from Cleveland.
I don't know where they're from. They played L.A. I don't know.
And that could have been a three different versions of Malice. All right.
Yeah. And then there's a guy called Perry McCarty that sang on the Warrior Fighting for the Earth. I think he's way metal. Other honorable mention is, I think about it. And Ozzy. Ozzy is super metal. And Klaus.
Klaus. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was rocking the China White yesterday, 39th anniversary, man. That's a badass song, dude.
I saw that tour.
Really? I did too. And you know who was the opening band?
Riot?
No, Iron Maiden. Number of the Beast tour.
Yeah, you saw that. Where did you see it? In the West Coast?
Yeah, Anaheim. It was called the Summer Strut, and it was it was Loverboy, Iron Maiden,
Ted Nugent,
Scorpions, and Foreigner.
Yeah, that tour came to Rochester, came to Buffalo instead of it was Nugent, Foreigner, Loverboy, and Maiden.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I do like, there's so many great metal singers. There's a lot of new great singers like Ralph brother Ralph Sheepers. He's amazing. I like the guy, the kid that's singing, the Ronnie Romero. I like him. He's great. You know, there's so many, bro. Like so many. Michael Kiske. Come on, man.
That's right. You know, it's interesting because sometimes when we talk about this metal genre of like, you know, the trend now, like if you listen to like Jose Mangan, you know, like the liquid metal, it's just all the death growling vocals and like the idea that this vocal could be like another instrument almost. Like when you look at like a Rob and a Bruce or Michael Kiske, like it becomes like that fifth or sixth instrument in the band. You know what I mean? Like when there's range and melody and harmony, like that's just what you miss when you just have this straight up like the death growl, you know? Not to take away from any of those singers that sing in that style, but like, anyway, that's, I think Vernomatic and I agree, like we like the metal vocalists, you know, just like we like the shredding power guitars, metal. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You got the power metal singers and then you got your grindcore singers and then you got your death metal singers. I mean, look at King Diamond. I mean, you know, look at Lemmy. Like, dude, we could go on for days.
Yeah.
So.
You're right. Roy Z, you're right on that. Cause Lemmy at one point was, you know, extreme. Now you look at, now you listen and it's like nothing. And King Diamond, Merciful Fate, that was just that was incredible stuff. Are you a fan of some of these new bands? What new bands are you into that you could recommend to someone?
You know what, there's some really cool bands, but all of them have been around. I'm not really hip to some of these other groups. You know, I try to listen to everything. But in all honesty, I don't like hardly anything that's coming out that's new. I gotta say that I really dig the new Body Count, and I'm glad they won Best Metal Grammy. You know, that's bringing a hard element, but Body Count's been around for a long time. You know, I don't know, man, that's the last album that I like.
You know what it speaks to, you have to look, like Vernomatic made the comment, anybody with the crazy stuff on computers now and Pro Tools or whatever can plug in and make crazy sounding music, but what needs to happen, there still has to be good artists, good musicians, and the most important, good songwriters, right? I mean, anybody can throw on a drum track, and I mean, you know, this is you're in the A-list of A-lists of metal writers. You know, it's like you can't fake, you know, either you have good writing skills or you don't, you know.
Well, there's a lot of talented bands, you know, and then there's like that whole new metal genre or whatever. And there, but to me, it all sounds the same. All the same production.
That's the thing. Same, yeah.
Same production. Same, you know. I hear the same snare drum, same guitar sound, the same kind of solos, the same, you know, just the same everything. And I'm like going, like, this is fucking whack, you know. They're time stamping their shit, you know. When you put an audio timestamp on your shit.
Vernomatic's got to do someone hooking in the Metal Mayhem RLC studios here.
I have the world's loudest.
it always goes off.
The loudest cuckoo clock on the other end of the studio, and at the top of the hour, you can be down the street and hear it. So
well, that means that we're done then.
Yes, it does.
So Roy Z, you know, it's interesting. We've only had three episode interview that we've done. That was way back early in our little careers doing this thing here. You may be the second, but you also may have enough content now where we could splice you into a whole shit ton of shows in the future. So you might be our third co-captain in the co-captain's chair here now.
That's funny because we only talked about a few things.
I know. We could go another 4 hours.
I know. But
Vernal's going to call you after this, and you're going to talk till 4 a.m, I'm sure.
Yeah. Roy, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. It's I've been a fan, and Mark's been hounding me for the last couple months. He's like, I got to call Roy. We got to get Roy Z on. I'm like, well, call him. Yeah. But I want to thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I want to give a special shout out to you, to Mark, and a special extra shout out to my brothers in the Halford band. Things are looking up.
Roy Z, I love, you know, it's that was, we didn't get to like half the questions we wanted to ask you tonight, but like one of the questions, and again, so here we go. I was going to ask you this. Look, Halford, yeah, some would say, oh, that's Rob's solo project or whatever. The reality was, and I was so, I consider myself extremely fortunate that I got to know you all on a personal level, in addition to, you know, just being a fan of what you guys do. But like, I mean, you guys had chemistry and you guys were a real band. And Rob always said it, right? He was always like, this is my band. This is not my solo project. Can you talk about what it felt like for you to be in the Halford band?
Man, you know, it's wonderful when you could be on the road with some guys and everybody just loves each other and cares for each other, including our crew. Special shout out to Timmy, all the boys, man. They all took care of us, but we were family, man, and we are family. And I hope that one day we could reunite, even if it's with another singer. I'll leave that up to fate, but I'm down.
Oh, that being said, Roy Z, thank you. Stay safe and healthy.
Yeah, Z, thanks, man. We appreciate you calling in the Metal Mayhem RLC, and we'll talk to you soon off air, and hopefully have you back on again because you fit right in.
Right on, gentlemen. You guys stay safe, and blessings to you and your families. And hopefully nobody gets affected by in your circle with all of this crap, because it's going to get bad again. Be ready.
Yeah.
I hear you. Then it gets good after that, hopefully, finally. So
thanks, Roy Z.
Take care, brother.
All right. Bye-bye.
Metal for Life.
Thanks for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our websites at metalmayhemroc.com and metalforever.com for information on upcoming concerts, podcasts, archives, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. Catch us next time on WLFE-DB Radio.